said the pastor. He folded her hands and read a psalm over the dead woman. She was buried. Two large tears rolled over the cheeks of the earnest man, and in the parsonage it was empty and still, for its sun had set forever. She had gone home. It was night. A cold wind swept over the pastor's head. He opened his eyes, and it seemed to him as if the moon was shining into his room. It was not so, however. There was a being standing before his bed, and looking like the ghost of his deceased wife. She fixed her eyes upon him with such a kind and sad expression, just as if she wished to say something to him. The pastor raised himself in bed and stretched his arms towards her, saying, "Not even you can find eternal rest. You suffer, you best and most pious woman." The dead woman nodded her head as if to say, "Yes," and put her hand on her breast.
"And can I not obtain rest in the grave for you?"
"Yes," was the answer.
"And how?"
"Give me one hair, only one single hair, from the head of the sinner for whom the fire shall never be extinguished, of the sinner whom God will condemn to eternal punishment in hell."
"Yes, one ought to be able to redeem you so easily, you pure, pious woman," he said.
"Follow me," said the dead woman. "It is thus granted to us. By my side, you will be able to fly wherever your thoughts wish to go. Invisible to men, we shall penetrate into their most secret chambers, but with sure hand you must find out him who is destined to eternal torture, and before the cock crows, he must be found." As quickly as if carried by the winged thoughts, they were in the great city, and from the walls the names of the deadly sins shone in flaming letters: pride, avarice, drunkenness, wantonness, in short, the whole seven-coloured bow of sin.
"Yes, therein, as I believed, as I knew it," said the pastor, "are living those who are abandoned to the eternal fire."
And they were standing before the magnificently illuminated gate. The broad steps were adorned with carpets and flowers, and dance music was sounding through the festive halls. A footman, dressed in silk and velvet, stood with a large silver-mounted rod near the entrance.
"Our ball can compare favourably with the king's," he said, and turned with contempt towards the gazing crowd in the street.
What he thought was sufficiently expressed in his features and movements.
"Miserable beggars, who are looking in, you are nothing in comparison to me."
"Pride," said the dead woman. "Do you see him?"
"The footman?" asked the pastor. "He is but a poor fool, and not doomed to be tortured eternally by fire."
"Only a fool?" It sounded through the whole house of pride. They were all fools there. Then they flew within the four naked walls of the miser. Lean as a skeleton, trembling with cold and hunger, the old man was clinging with all his thoughts to his money. They saw him jump up feverishly from his miserable couch and take a loose stone out of the wall. There lay gold coins in an old stocking. They saw him anxiously feeling over an old ragged coat in which pieces of gold were sewn, and his clammy fingers trembled.
"He is ill. That is madness. A joyless madness, besieged by fear and dreadful dreams."
They quickly went away and came before the beds of the criminals. These unfortunate people slept side by side in long rows. Like a ferocious animal, one of them rose out of his sleep and uttered a horrible cry and gave his comrade a violent dig in the ribs with his pointed elbow, and this one turned round in his sleep.
"Be quiet, monster! Sleep! This happens every night."
"Every night," repeated the other. "Yes, every night he comes and tortures me. In my violence I have done this and that,